and to Canberra. Good morning, Karen Middleton.
Good morning, Catherine.
Who's your Prime Minister's second dose, unfortunately? I recall during the first dose, I think his poll ratings went up, didn't they, during the election campaign? I hope he is well. I trust he's recovering.
Yes, you're talking about COVID-19, of course. And yes, the Prime Minister's gone under with his second dose of the unwanted virus. He says he's not feeling terrific, but he's not as sick as he could be, I guess. He's fully boosted, as a lot of us are. He did do a radio interview yesterday and talked a little bit about how he's feeling, but he's isolating at his Sydney residence, Kirribilli House. I guess there are worse places to isolate if you've got to stay somewhere. We've got different rules now on COVID-19. You know, previously, if you were tested positive, you had to stay isolated for at least 7 days. Now that's been lifted, but you've got to stay isolated for as long as acute symptoms are present. And of course, if you're the Prime Minister, it would be a bad look to start circulating and to infect other people. So he's pretty conscious of that, presumably. It has caused a few problems with his schedule. He was supposed to host a meeting of all the state premiers and chief ministers to talk about today, in fact, to talk about the state of the gas, the energy market, and the government's been promising that by the end of the year they would implement a cap on gas prices, because like everyone, we here are suffering from rocketing energy costs and household costs generally. And in fact, our official interest rates were raised again yesterday for the eighth time consecutively, and now we're on an official rate of 3.1 from almost zero back at the start of the year. So he was supposed to host that meeting in person today. Initially it was just said it was cancelled. It's now been deferred to Friday and possibly a virtual meeting then. But he was meant to also be in Perth and have his federal cabinet with him, and that meeting is been put off as well. But they are very aware that they need to do something about gas, and they're also talking about putting pressure on some of the states to cap coal prices as well. So he's got a few things on his plate, as a Prime Minister always does, and as the year finishes, he'll be wanting to finish the calendar year, at least, if not quite the end of his full first year in office, having ticked off a number of things, and the gas energy issue is a big one. But he's also warning that even if they do get that cap on energy, on gas prices in place by the end of the year, as promised, it won't flow through until at least February. So people are looking down the barrel of a tough Christmas, not only with the rising prices here and cost of living, but also this COVID wave that he is now a victim of, like so many of other people.
Well, he's locked up at home, but his defence and foreign ministers are in Washington at the moment. And is this the first talks between the new administration and the Biden administration?
Yeah, the first official talks. That's right. Yeah, they have an annual, it's called OSMIN, which is an acronym, Australia-US Ministerial Meeting. They have that annually, and this is the first one since the changeover of the government in May, and they're meeting in Washington. And that will be followed by a meeting of the AUKUS member parties. Now, that's another acronym, Australia-UK-US, and that's that contentious nuclear submarine deal that the Morrison government announced a year or so ago. That there'll be an official meeting of the ministers from the three defence ministers from those three countries in Washington, following on from the current OSMIN talks. So AUKUS is a big focus. The Defence Minister, Richard Marles, Australian Minister, has indicated in the middle of these US talks that Australia will be increasing its integration with the United States, if you like, and having more and more visits and from US vessels, but a greater sort of military presence in Australia. We've already got Marines based in the Northern Territory up in Darwin, but he has said that he's not looking at having nuclear submarines or other vessels based here permanently. So, you know, the nuclear issue has raised some concerns with some people who've long had concerns in Australia about nuclear power and nuclear-powered nuclear weapons. And so he's sort of made that comment, suggesting that will not be the case. They won't have basing of US vessels here.
Really interesting story about the nappy trial that's underway, of course. Disposable nappies, such a godsend for parents, but a scourge for the environment. What's this trial about?
Yeah, I thought this might be an interesting one to mention. It was reported on ABC television here yesterday. It's a combined effort between the CSIRO, another acronym there, CSIRO we call it, the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organisation, which is the government-funded science research body here in Australia, and Kimberly Clark, who produced, which is a private producer, produced nappy, to try and do something about the huge amount of nappy waste. You know, a lot of people have moved from disposable nappies to cloth nappies, but they have their own challenges, and there's still a huge amount of nappy waste, 1.5 billion disposable nappies that go into landfill every year. So they're looking at this system trialled in South Australia to try and strip that down and turn it into compost and biogas. So it's a recycling system that is stripping the plastic away from the nappies and then using bacteria to break down the organic waste. They say that they are producing a combination of sort of biodegradable, organic, nutrient-rich compost and biogas. And then they have a challenge to work out, firstly, how, if this is to be implemented, you know, on a mass scale, how the nappies would be collected. So it'd have to be some kind of local council collection, like we have garbage collection. That'd have to be a nappy collection arrangement. And then, you know, how you're going to deal with each stage of the process. So, and particularly what you're going to do with the leftover plastic. So they have a few challenges yet, but they're testing this out in South Australia. And, you know, it's promising. If we can get rid of that much landfill, it's got to be a good thing for the environment.
For sure, one to keep an eye on. And just very quickly, a dud Christmas tree making the news.
I know, we always look forward to, you know, the lighting of a Christmas tree and it's all a spectacle and what have you. But the council in Port Macquarie in New South Wales has had a problem. They hyped up their Christmas tree lighting and then they lit it the other day and it was a bit of a schmozzle. Instead of the beautifully symmetrical, glorious lights sort of dripping down from the top of the tree, it looked as though someone had sort of whizzed around it and stuck stuff on, and people were horrified. So it's gone crazy on social media. The council had to apologise and they're trying to fix their Christmas tree now before Christmas so they don't, you know, suffer eternal damaged reputation. But, you know, memes now on social media of this crazy looking tree.
I think they should leave it. It's up on the website. It looks like something I'd decorate, to be honest. I think it's got the Fountain Lakes authenticity to it.
I think it reflects how a lot of people feel at the end of this year. You're in a bit of a frenzy. You skid all the way to Christmas. You crash into Christmas and then you collapse. Well, I think the tree is reflecting how a lot of us are feeling right about.
There's quite a bit heading south on that tree. Maybe someone wasn't tall enough to reach up one side.
Yeah, correct. And I
think they maybe the cherry picker broke down.
Some wind and weather issues as we have lately here too. So many challenges for the Port Macquarie Local Council.
Thank you, Karen Middleton, our Australia correspondent.